Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves, or they were pushed out by outside forces, like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Oh, ooh, it's the spookiest Boogie Monster yet.
Boo, y'all.
It's
just a dipshit go. Boo.
What? Oob. Oh, shit, I'm dyslexic. I've been saying oob this whole time.
Welcome, boogers and patrons alike.
Mm-hmm. Probably just patrons, because that's what this you get. That's what happens on this one.
That's true.
This is a Q&A episode. Yeah. October, Halloween.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Go ahead and give you a shout-out. Thank you so much. Don't want to sound sappy, but I really do appreciate all the support. You guys, $4 a month. I'll tell you what. Doesn't go unnoticed or unappreciated. So, yeah, man. So the least we can do is answer some of your ridiculous questions on your monthly Boogie Monster Q&A. Fucking Q you right in the A.
We used that one before.
Uh-huh. And by A, I mean your asshole.
Dave, you've had one sip of whiskey.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not drinking because I think I might have kidney stones. So, Ooh. Fuck yeah, let's party. My kidneys are haunted. I got my kidneys haunted for Halloween.
Dude, I hope you don't, man. That is some rough shit.
I'm not excited about it. I'm going to ride it out for a little bit.
Katie had kidney stones recently. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
She claims, and she's not a bullshitter, she claims on the airplane ride going out to vacation I talked about a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
She passed one the size of a quarter. And I was like, come on. You're exaggerating. She goes, no. She went to the airplane toilet and peed out a stone the size of a quarter.
No.
Yeah, that's what I said. There's no way. But she goes, no, I promise you, it was the size of a quarter. And I go, you'd be dead.
Yeah. It would have torn your urethra yeah. out of your body.
But and we went round and round. And I go, no, just seriously, I've had kidney stones. Mm-hmm. Just tell me how big it was. She goes, Dave, it was the size of a goddamn quarter.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe
her
either.
I refuse.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she'd been battling for a while. So I knew we were meant to be.
Very small stones, less than a quarter of an inch, or about 5 millimeters in size, usually can pass through a urinary tract.
What if she just...
That's a whole marble.
Yeah. What if she was just...
Marbles are smaller than quarters.
What if she just took a dump? It's a kidney stone. No, it's not a kidney stone. She says it was the size of a quarter. And yeah, I don't.
Too big to be passed naturally is 6 to 7 millimeters, but between 0.23 to 0.27 of an inch. That's too large. That's a quarter inch. Quarter isn't like an inch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I passed one. I kept one a couple years ago. There's a picture of it on my Instagram. Looks like a unground peppercorn. I fished it out.
Oh, buddy. This is the episode people are paying for.
Oh,
we
sorry.
Can't give them this
sorry
shit.
About, sorry about that.
We can't give them this horse shit.
Seriously, dude, if you really think you have them, mm-hmm. and I've talked about this before, but the asparagus remedy, it works. It really does.
Just eat asparagus.
Get you a couple of cans of canned asparagus and puree it. Blend that shit up, and get you a big old mug of pureed asparagus, a gallon of distilled water. I don't know why it has to be distilled, but distilled water, and like a liter of some sort of soda, Diet Coke, something, and all within 1 hour. Just drink. You got to drink all that shit because it just. And then this is part of my joke, but it's true. They want you to hop up and down.
Pounds it into the system.
So in an hour, try and it's gruesome. Like you're gonna want to puke, but big old thing of pureed asparagus, distilled water, and cola, and it just tidal waves that shit out of there.
Well, that's my question.
What's going on, buddy, other than the possible kidney stones?
Nothing.
No, nothing.
We just recorded.
Yeah, I know, but, you know,
these people are smarter than the illusion that we try to put on for them.
It's not an illusion. I still care about you, even though we've been doing this
all day. What happened since the last episode? I got a glass of water. I took a piss. I answered some emails.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I got nothing going on.
You got nothing?
No, the kidney stone things. That was what I was most concerned about.
Why do you think you have that? You got some weird pain?
My kidneys hurt. Outside, next to my spine, lower back. Thought I pulled my back out because I was bike riding, but I was stretching and everything.
What's have you ever had any medical issues, any health issues? Other than the gout?
Yeah, I got that gout thing. When I was little, I had like, good God, what did I have when I was little? All kinds of dumb, weird rosacea on my face.
What is rosacea?
It's just like, it wasn't even that. It was something else, but I like red welts.
Huh.
All over my neck. It looked like a rash. It looked like hives. I had, I told you about sweaty sock syndrome, right?
No.
My feet would get super dry and cracked and bleed.
My wife calls me swamp foot.
The doctor was like, oh, I had to wear Ziploc bags on my feet filled with formaldehyde.
Whoa.
That's what I slept in. Fucking stuff. The chemicals they used to preserve dead people, they had to put on my feet.
Wow.
I guess maybe there's more of that stuff with little kids than you realize. Not having kids. Maybe there's like a lot more like, yeah, this is a new person adjusting to the world, and stuff pops up, you know?
Yeah.
Your body hasn't righted itself. But yeah, I had that.
How old were you?
I was a little kid. It was like the only time I visited Los Angeles before I moved here.
Really?
I was probably maybe 8 years old. Because I remember...
taking some meetings.
Oh, yeah. I was out here. I was just trying to work on some contract negotiations. I remember walking around the pool and my feet were bleeding. Everybody's like, yeah, what's wrong with this kid? Bloody footprints around a pool.
No surgeries or anything?
Nope. Just bags full of formaldehyde.
Huh.
So, yeah. So that. Why? What'd you have?
I told you about my dog shit knee.
Yeah, that was gross.
Yeah, I got dog shit in my knee wound.
That was real rough.
My knee got infected when I was like 13.
Real rough, real gross.
And then when I was 27, I had a nut hernia. Did I tell you about my nut hernia?
I had one of those.
Yeah, I pulled my fucking nut.
What'd you do?
Got surgery. Applebee's paid for it. I was working the kitchen at Applebee's.
That's better than free dinner on your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they paid for my surgery. I was lifting big old bags of something, and I pulled my fucking
work related
hernia. And if you don't know what that is, so here's my balls, right? Just imagine my balls, right? And then right behind my balls,
do they look like regular balls?
I got some baked potatoes, and right behind my balls is a wall of muscle. I've got muscular balls. And then right behind the wall of muscle is your lower intestine. And I tore that muscle wall, and my intestine was poking through the wall.
I did that.
And poking the backside of my balls.
Did it fall out into your balls? I let mine go. I got mine from coughing real hard, smoking bongs.
Yeah, you told me.
And yeah, it just dumped out into my balls. Oh. My intestine went into my balls.
Yeah, mine was just like poking my balls. So it was like that pain, like when you get kicked in the balls or punched in the balls. It was like that, but like constant for like 2 weeks, just 24/7, constant, steady ball pain. And then they went in and they fixed the tear in the muscle wall. They put like a mesh.
The mesh. You get the mesh. I got some of that mesh.
Yeah. And I still got a weird sensation down there. Like where they.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I got a scar.
I got a scar, but like it's like numb. Like if you
touch
it.
In your balls?
Not the balls. Like right like in the crack of my leg to my groin, you know. That's where they went in. And,
the crotch pit?
Yeah, my crotch pit, yeah. And got a scar, and it just feels weird. It just still feels weird to the touch.
Well, that's what happens when you get the Applebee's right for your hernia surgery.
And I think I told you this story, but my dad picked me up from the hospital. It wasn't an overnight surgery. It was just, what do they call that, like a outpatient?
Outpatient, yeah.
So, it was, you know, I went in at like 8 in the morning. They did the thing, and like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, my dad come to pick me up, and I was all doped up, and he goes, all right, buddy, you ready to go home? And I was so doped up, I just went, and I don't cuss around my dad, or I didn't cuss around my dad, and I just go, Dad, my fucking balls hurt. And he was just like, well, all right, buddy, let's get you in the car and get you home. It's like, my fucking balls hurt. And I couldn't, for like a week, I couldn't stand upright. I was walking around like Ozzy Osbourne, just kind of all hunched over and just real tender.
Yeah, I remember having to take it easy on that one. Oh, and I separated my collarbone.
Mm.
I did that one.
How'd you do that? Shredding?
No, I was backyard wrestling drunk, and I jumped off a fence to body slam somebody that just wasn't even there. And I just popped. I didn't break my collarbone, but everything that holds it in just popped out.
Oh, I dislocated my shoulder twice during football.
Ugh. They just put that back in. You don't
they
go to the doctor.
Slammed
right?
up against the wall. Yeah. They just slammed me up against the wall and
really?
Popped it back in.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Blew.
It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, a lot of dipshit injuries.
Yeah. Well, buddy, I hope you don't get those kidney stones because they suck. Literally, the first time I've had 5 or 6. The first time, no shit, I literally thought I was dying because I didn't. I didn't think.
Go on the road.
Yeah, I gotta
leave tomorrow.
My girlfriend at the time, we were living together, and I was just in the bathroom on the floor, and I was like, I think I'm dying, and she drove me to the emergency room. And I was in so much pain that I puked out the window on the way to the emergency room. Like, just the shock and the pain just did something to my stomach, and I just vomited all out the window. God, welcome man. To the Boogie Monster.
Well, this is the one. This is the paid for one.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get through some of these.
All right. Let's go tell.
I always like to start with the very first one, the person who responded first. So let's figure out what Brandon T. asks us. Brandon T. says, when someone dies and become a ghost, why do they still have on clothes? Shouldn't they be naked? That's a good question.
I've heard enough jokes about, like, yeah, you never see, like, a ghost wearing, like, a members-only jacket. Like, there's no 80s ghosts or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, there should be. That. But I mean, it's a joke, ghost. But, like, why is that? That's a valid question. Why are there modern ghosts?
Because the ghosts still think they're alive. They're not just going dick out.
No, but I mean like with the clothing, with the time period.
But yeah, so they're getting dressed. Because maybe ghosts aren't as the kind of ghosts we think they are. Because they're energy that exists. They're not clothed individuals walking around. Nude ghost haunting you, double creepy.
Boo! Check out my dog.
Booner. that's where I was going with it.
Oh, I told you my mom thinks my dad was hanging around the house. They've had my mom and my sister-in-law who lived with my mom for 3 months until we moved her last week. Well, now they still live together. They both saw some shit in that house.
Oh, your sister-in-law did?
Sister-in-law has seen orbs around my mom. She'll be talking to my mom, and she'll see, she says about 5 times.
Really?
Just she'd be talking to my mom, and she would see weird orbs around my mom. And then my mom Oh, I haven't told you this one. This was new. The night before we moved my mom out of her house up to Indiana, my mom claims, and my mom's, you know, she's a goober, but she's not a bullshitter. She claims she saw Dad walk on the porch on the outside, outside of the house. She saw, because my dad used to always wear these little flannel shirts. Not flannel, but like plaid.
Yeah,
like short sleeve old man Walmart shirts. And my mom said real quickly, she was having her morning coffee the day before we were moving. And she's got this ramp in the back of the house that she would roll up to and exit the back of the house. And she's sitting there at the kitchen table. And in her peripheral, she saw real quick a person walk by in a plaid shirt.
Yeah. So, all right.
Weird.
All right.
Yeah.
Stuff's going on over there.
Yeah. Well, here's a question, though. We just moved her, obviously. Yeah. I've talked about that. Do you think is he going to show up there, even though he's never been there?
All the stuff that I've heard about, it's usually like malicious spirits follow somebody. It seems like benign spirits stay with a location, but malicious ones always seem like, not always, but those are the ones that seem to follow people.
Huh.
So I don't know.
I kind of like the idea of my dad just hanging out, you know?
Yeah. Probably like Indiana, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's nice town. Enjoy it. Yeah. So
I don't know. I mean, it's and if he's got the clothes on, I mean, the power of the mind. When a loved one passes away, you know, I'm not going to underestimate that either, of what your own mind can create for you to see.
True.
But your sister-in-law seeing orbs, I mean, that's more of what I would think something, not pictures. I'm not going to believe any pictures of an orb is dust on your lens.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, oh, it's like, yeah, there's energy left in the universe. The energy that makes you get up and move around now. You know, there's your science. You can't create or destroy energy. Some people are like, well, the energy is like when... that person is buried and they are consumed by the earth and the elements. That's the energy being transferred into the worms or what have you. Or if you're cremated, you get transferred into, you know, it's heat and light.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's where I'm going with it. I don't know about the clothes thing, though.
Yeah.
I think
well, why would they be naked, though? He said, shouldn't they be naked? Like,
no, why? You're not naked now.
Yeah. Unless they died naked. But yeah.
I think even then, I think it's more of like if you were a nudist ghost. Ghost at the nudist colony.
By the way, I'm starting to get a little buzzed. I called him Brandon T. It's a Braden T. Sorry, Braden. Braden.
You had two sips of this thing.
I filled that sucker up pretty good, and now it's disappearing. Speaking of ghost, there's a... What else we got?
All right. Somebody has a good one here. Eric Wentz. Underwater aliens. Have you guys heard of the Google Earth anomaly off of Malibu or the Navy sighting of something churning in the water in 2004? We did talk about that one.
We did?
Something about Navy seeing some, I forget within which topic we were discussing.
Huh.
But given the expanse of the ocean, is this more plausible than underground aliens?
Absolutely.
I would say yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We can't guess what... It's just the same as space. You don't know what's down there. You don't know what is adapted to existing underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Or if aliens are like, oh, we're going to hide, but we can just stash our ship down here. You know? The
absolutely.
Oceans. And all this talk now that... What's the new big thing? Everybody's like, oh, we have to act soon or the environment is going to...
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of that talk in the last week, but I don't know what spawned that talk.
UN report. This is the UN. United Nations climate report saying a strong risk of crisis as early as 2040. I mean, yeah. Yeah, the Earth is taking itself back.
Yeah.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Said it before. I'm not trying to make it worse. I'm not trying to be a dickhead, but maybe we're past the tipping point, and the Earth is reclaiming itself. Being like, all right, you guys partied in my house enough.
Yeah.
And now I want you gone.
Yeah.
So
2040, I'll be I'll be 63. That's about when I think I'm going to die anyway. I think I'm going
to
die.
Time to get rad, everybody.
I think I'm going to die in my early 60s. And based on that, I got about 20 good years left.
Yeah,
so
have
I'm
a good old time
just
with it.
Going to max it out.
Have a good old goddamn time with it.
Yeah, have fun.
Yeah, everybody's freaking out. Like, we got like, what? Stop. That's very pessimistic of me, but I'm like, what? Yeah, it had to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
What arrogance.
Yeah.
No, the human race will live forever. No, we made ourselves extinct. We extincted ourselves. We've extinguished the human race.
Yeah.
Whoops. That was what was, somebody said, like, given all the possibilities of the planets and the expanse of the universe, that the likelihood of something similar to our Earth that could host life forms similar to our own. Think of how many have just came and gone in the time frame, the age of the universe, that an Earth, a parallel universe Earth, existed and did the same thing that we're doing now.
Yeah.
But we're so goddamn special.
Oh, yeah, we're special. And we're smart. We know it
all. We're smart and we're special. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know. What was the question on that one? I got a good bummer on that one. Is that still about? Oh, no, the underwater aliens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a great place to have a base and to hide UFOs is in the depths of the ocean. We don't know what the fuck's going on down there.
The government has to have some underwater shit going on because no civilians are coming up with the stuff to go dick around out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how many commercial submarines in the world? They're unnecessary and impractical and not cost effective.
Yeah.
What? So you can just give a tour ride?
Yeah.
I'm going to look up how many commercial submarines are in the world. Oh, they said ocean. That's a good one, too.
The world. Other than the world.
Well, this is just about the Navy. Whatever. That's my take that, yes, there's shit down there, and we yeah. You got it, Eric. Agreed.
You got it, Eric. All right, where are we at here? Tim Parham asks, who's your favorite songwriter? Ignoring the rest of the band, just who do you think is the best lyricist?
Ooh.
So you're more of a punk rock guy. Are there any punk bands known for, like, I know punk is all about the energy and the ethos and... But are there punk bands that are known for, like, oh, man, they can really spin a yarn?
You know, yeah, everybody loves the Bad Religion, where you got to look up half the words.
Oh, really?
Because the guy's so smart. And you're like,
who's that? Is that Tim Armstrong?
No, that's Rancid.
Oh, that's Rancid. Yeah,
Greg, is it Greg?
I always like Bad Religion.
Greg Graffin? I think it's Greg Graffin. Yeah, he's like a doctorate and...
Is that Ruby Soho? Who did
that's
Ruby?
Rancid.
That's Rancid.
Greg Graffin is
yeah,
a
I get,
singer.
Yeah, I get Bad Religion and Rancid confused.
It's understandable. Mm-hmm. I always like old Josh Caterer from The Smoking Pope.
Oh, yeah?
Thought he can really work his words into something beautiful. I think, I'm trying to think of who really had good turns of phrase. You know, the punk music, it was really like the music backing it. Some people are like, oh, the lyrics of this. I'm like, yeah, the song sucks. Mm-hmm. The lyrics are great, but they're not like, oh, I saw Strung Out in Santa Cruz. And they're like just a Fat Records band. And they're like, oh, we're going to slow it down. They all picked up acoustic guitars. And everybody there was like, don't do this, please.
Yeah.
They played one song, and I think they picked up on the vibe. Like, okay, yeah, you're right.
Sorry about that.
I don't know. What do you got, Dave? Who do you like?
Well, I'm a big alt-country fan.
Yeah.
And alt-country is...
Those guys ought to write a tune.
Yeah. Some of the better guys are really known for that. And I've made... it's no secret. I mean, my favorite band is Drive-By Truckers. But even within that band, that is a coin toss. Currently, you got Patton... I almost said Patton Oswalt, Patterson Hood, and Mike Cooley, and then not even to mention their ex bandmate Jason Isbell, who's gone on to three of those dudes, incredible songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a coin flip. I like all three of them. Mike Cooley, he comes to mind. Like, that dude can just something about the way he spins a phrase. One of my favorite lyrics is the opening. on their album Decoration Day. They have a song called "Is It Marry Me?" And the opening line is, "My daddy didn't pull out and he never apologized. Rock and roll means well, but it can't help telling young boys lies." Just Mike Cooley's just the man.
For all the, you know, knocking country, like a good country song, mm-hmm. probably that's when music's like, oof.
Yeah.
This is a story and it's a sad one.
Because I love country music, but country isn't music. It's not known for its musicality. You know, I enjoy the sound of it, but when you're talking country or alt country, you're talking songwriting and lyrics. And I don't know. Mike Cooley, probably my favorite. Patterson Hood, right there with him. I mean, just the way those guys can tell a story, and they take they're big into like Southern folklore and Southern history, and you know, weird true crime of the South, and they can take a story and just turn it into a song, and it's just goddamn beautiful. Another guy who I'm really into right now, and I've talked about this before, I think, but Tyler Childers out of Kentucky. I believe Sturgill Simpson is the one who kind of discovered him, produced his first album, but man, Tyler Childers, that dude can write a song, beautiful voice. And one of his songs called Charleston Girl, he goes, "I can't tell if it's the wine or the coke that makes her sound like her jaw is broke. She's working hard to make some sense, but she ain't got a dime." Like, that dude, man, that's some good shit. Working hard to make some sense, but she ain't got a dime. But yeah, Mike Cooley, Patterson Hood, Jason Isbell, Tyler Childers, Sturgill's a great songwriter. Those are my guys right now when I think of songwriter. And in the past, you're talking John Prine.
Smart words, dumb accents.
Well, that's so funny.
I'm just being a dickhead.
No. Patterson has a great line, and maybe my favorite Drive-By Trucker songs from the same album I just mentioned, Decoration Day, a song called Sinkhole. It's like the most... I know it sounds weird, but it's the most metal riff in a country song. Yeah. Like, it's country, but it's just got this thick riff. But Patterson sings, "He thinks I ain't got a lick of sense because my money... He thinks I ain't got a lick of sense because I talk slow and my money's spent." Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just, yeah, I got a fucking accent, but I ain't a dumbass. And, man.
Right.
I could go on and on about all country stuff, but I love it. But yeah, there you go. There you go.
Here's just a good one from Phil Schult. "General question, what the fuck is up with the world right now? Seriously, just answered it. I read your question after I gave you the answer. It's done."
What is going on? Is it the end times?
Well, no.
Well, here's a better question.
Everybody thinks that.
And we're not political on this show, but we have opinions, and we shouldn't suppress them. But like, is it possible to have a more ridiculous president than Trump? I mean, where do we go from here?
Knock on wood right now.
Where do we go from here?
Knock on that table, Dave.
What a fucking doofus, man! Even if you are Republican, like, how do you defend the guy? Because he's a fucking doofus.
Because there's it's capitalist. Because there's trade agreements that are I refuse to poison our final years on Earth with worrying about these fucking idiots.
Yeah,
it's they're protecting theirs.
I
think they're protecting theirs. I mean, even though they're fucking rich white billionaires, they're still looking like it's all coming for us. So they're protecting theirs. Mm. You know, it's like a cornered animal. Even though that cornered animal is the 1% richest of the whole country, that's how that's going.
I just don't know how you take him seriously. Like, listen to his speeches and his rallies.
But they're stripping away all that and looking at what he's doing with trade and all this tariff bullshit that they think is going to boost, stateside manufacturing. And I don't know. I'm talking at my ass. What's wrong with the world right now is I think, ironically enough, that you're listening to this. I think the internet killed the human race.
Hmm.
I think, possibly, maybe the you know, ideally, it was seen as this way to share information, and it is wonderful in that way. But I think it's I think maybe it's killed, or maybe the world is just as good or bad as it's always been, but people are now hyper aware of it.
That's a good point.
You know, they're constantly, that was my thing. I was waking up, reading the news, and I'd be in a bad mood and be like, the world's fucked.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't it fucked before I could just go on my phone from bed and look at the news? Didn't people think it was fucked in the 80s? You know, and then the stock market, Black Friday crash, and the economy was shitty and all that stuff. Yeah, if I constantly wanted to look at that stuff online, I would think that way. Now everybody gets an opinion, so you think, you know, I get caught up in the same shit. I look at, like, negative YouTube comments or something on a video,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, well, everybody fucking hates me. No, the however many fucking psychos that still leave YouTube comments cared about that.
Yeah.
If you know what? If you live your life where you don't know anybody who leaves YouTube comments, you have a good social circle.
Imagine leaving a YouTube comment.
They're children. But maybe, like I said, maybe, you know, you'd think the internet would be like, oh, there's this, you know, there's starvation in this country. Like, when you could rally together enough people because, you know, the Haitian earthquake, which they had another one the other night, never even heard about it. You realize that? That's how much other shit's going on? But like, oh, donate, help out with this. Oh, you know, artistic projects can be exposed to such a larger audience. There's great things, but I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, man.
It's not an uncommon thought, and I think you've said it many times, but with the internet, everybody has a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody needs a voice.
and Trump, like, he's a fucking distraction. All his shit, that's a distraction. You know, he's the fucking hood ornament.
Mm-hmm.
He's some glitzy, shiny thing to pay attention to while the operation goes to shit.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, speaking of which, man, have you seen the trailer for the movie Vice? You know what I'm talking
about?
Oh,
is that the Dick Cheney movie?
I want to see that.
It's funny because, like, he was, like, so sinister, and now it's like, yeah, we got other shit going on, right?
Yeah, that looks good.
But we got to answer a lot of these questions, Dave.
Chris Olayas, I hope I pronounced that right. Olayas, you both are LA guys. Filipino food is coming up in a big way. What's your guys' take on Filipino food? If you do you know much about Filipino food?
I don't.
I don't either. I have recently been exposed to it because our buddy Carl Hess treated me a few months ago to a nice Filipino barbecue restaurant, and I've gone several times since then here in LA. It's called the Park's Finest Barbecue.
I've heard about
that. Echo Park, and oh boy, it's basically American style barbecue, but done in a Filipino way with some of their spices and stuff. Mm-hmm. And man, they got this beef short rib that's amazing. They got this thing coconut beef. They have the elote, which I know that's more Mexican, I guess. But yeah, I did that, and that got me thinking about Filipino food. That was my first exposure, even though I know that's not like traditional, you know, 100% legit Filipino food. I then went to some spot right there at Vermont in Santa Monica, you know, where the Staples.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that little strip center, there's just a little hole in the wall Filipino joint that I've been to a couple times where they got like adobe chicken and some shit I can't even remember. But just, man, yeah, I'm a fan. I don't know anything about it, but my little exposure to it, it's been well received by my mouth and my gut.
All right. Well, so, I've never had it, so yeah. I got to check it out.
So, yeah, you got to get on some Filipino food.
Danielle McCammett says, make up your own cryptid. I saw this one, immediately knew what it would be. Giant kitten.
Like an 8-foot kitten?
Or even if it was the size of, like, a lion or something,
uh-huh.
but
a kitten.
The mentality of a kitten.
Because yeah.
Cats get older and they're shitty and they're just worried about hunting.
Yeah.
But just a playful one.
Just, oh, big my fun. God.
Soft, same features as a kitten.
That is amazing.
Giant kitten.
Dude.
Yep.
Way to go.
What do you got? You got something?
Well, you know what? Normally we don't double down from the same person, but why not? Tim Parham.
I was going to say, you didn't want to make up a cryptid?
I thought you meant moving on. I don't know. I can't do anything better than that, dude.
Bigfoot with big old titties.
What if you had a... Ooh. Okay. I like big gals, and I don't mean necessarily heavy gals, but my gal is a tall gal. What if you had a smooth lady Bigfoot? What if it had 8 foot tall, hairless, big titty Bigfoot?
I mean,
big titty Bigfoot. Put that on a t-shirt.
Bigfoot, it's just big tits.
Big titty big.
You know it's in the woods up there. Big tits. And it's just an ape with huge cans.
I like a tall gal, man.
The legend of
Amazonian
big tits.
Amazonian woman, man. But yeah, what if you had a smooth lady Bigfoot?
So alopecia female Bigfoot.
I got no problem with that.
All right, next question.
Tim Parham, I know we just did him ask this question, but it's a good question. Curly fries, shoestring fries, waffle fries, steak fries. How do you rank them?
Fuck waffle fries.
Fuck waffle fries. I was going to say fuck steak fries.
Marry shoestring fries.
Fuck steak fries. Big
steak fries are the big ones, right?
Yeah, big. Just
that's good. You know what? If you got like a lot of dipping sauces,
okay.
But yeah, I would put steak fries at the back end.
You know what? And I'll go ahead and say this. I'm not going to say fuck curly fries, but I am going to say fuck the batter on your standard curly fries.
I was just going to say, why do they always have to have like a seasoning? Is
that
it
red Arby's curly fry batter? Why is there Checkers?
Never, yeah, why are they never just like regular fries? Like they can't fry them that way?
No, they can, but they just...
I farted.
Your timing on your farts is so good.
I got a lot of Indian food.
But you ate Indian food today?
Yeah.
Where?
Leftovers from last night. Anarkali.
Where's that?
I think it's on Melrose.
What'd you get?
Veggie masala and some sort of breaded fried mushroom thing.
Yeah.
That was real good.
For vegetarians... The most fun you're going to have as a vegetarian is Indian food.
Yeah, I mean, I've been eating the veggie burgers from Fat Burger because mm-hmm. I just like all the way they put all the stuff on mm-hmm. there.
Pretty so, good.
I've been eating that.
But yeah, going back to the fries, what is the deal? I don't give a shit about that red batter that Arby's uses on their curly fries mm-hmm. and Checkers and what's the West Coast Checker? Rallies. Uses on the regular fries.
I think
fries.
It's got to be something to keep them together. So, like, you're getting these fries frozen, right? You're getting frozen curly
Obviously,
fries.
Obviously, yeah.
Maybe it's something they do to them to keep them from not just breaking into tiny bits. It's like a cohesive aspect to that batter. But I agree.
I like a non-red batter curly fry. There was a chain, and I don't know if they're still around, but in Georgia back in the 90s, there was a place called Buffalo's, not Buffalo Wild Wings. It was just called Buffalo's. Mm-hmm. They did, their specialty was chicken wings, but it was not Buffalo Wild Wings. It was just called Buffalo's. That's where.
Sued out of existence.
That's where I ate 82 chicken wings in one sitting. They used to have Bash Night. Anybody remember back in the day, Buffalo's.
Bash Night. You'd bring your gay cousin to the parking lot.
Wednesday night was Bash Night. It was like $8.99.
Slap the homo out of him over at Buffalo's.
$8.99. All you could eat wings. When I was a senior in high school, me and a bunch of my football buddies went down and we fucking went to town. I ate 82 goddamn Buffalo wings and lost. Didn't win.
Really?
My buddy beat me. But they
is he
would
still
have.
Alive?
I don't know. They would have just regular French fry curly fries. Mm. And they were so goddamn good. Just not the red batter bullshit, but just fresh You know, you could tell they made them there. They weren't frozen. Curly fries. Dip them in the ranch and the blue cheese that came with the wings. Oh, my God.
That's where I would see a steak fry coming in. If you already got sauces and stuff, you get a variety of sauces. I would like a steak fry. That's good for dipping.
So, to answer this question, I would rank them exactly how he's got them. I would go curly fries 1, shoestring fries 2, waffle fries 3, steak fries 4. I don't know about you.
Shoestring... Or is that just regular fries or is that super skinny?
Those are
fries?
Like Steak and Shake, those little skinny ones. Or maybe even those In-N-Out Burger could be considered
the
shoestring.
Top. Those are top for me.
Those are the top for you? Okay. Yeah.
Shoestrings, curly fry, waffle fry, tie for second.
Okay.
Steak fries in the back.
Right on.
Let's get a ghost one.
What do you got?
Oh, wait. What is this? This is a great name. Sadillac Deprescalade.
That is good.
Hell yeah, solid handle.
That is good.
If you could download your brain and exist as a file, you think that tech would look like a player piano 20 years post-fact?
I have no idea what he just asked.
I think what he's asking, he or she is asking, if you could download... that tech would look like a player piano.
You figure that out. I'm going to get some more bourbon. Can I have some more of your bullet?
Yeah, it's Rachel's, but you could have it.
She doesn't care? I brought her some chili. That's a good trade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Well, I'm trying to think. I think what tech would look like a player piano? This question got me over my head. I don't know.
Player piano.
Well, that's the ones that like when the saloon has the automatic playing pianos.
Oh.
But that's what I don't know. Like, is that what you think the technology now would look like in 20 years? If we're gonna, I'm confused on what the exact question is. I just got intrigued by the first part of downloading everything. Like you're backing up your computer. Like here's you at 40 years old that you can just boot into a new human being. And I was thinking of that in that way. That's interesting to think that, you know, there's a cloud that you could just upload your existence, which isn't that just Westworld anyway? I don't know. I haven't watched that one in a while. I don't know. It's a good question. It's a little bit too smart for us.
Should I answer the question right above that one? Should I just go for it?
Yeah, you should just go for it, Dave.
Fuck it. All right.
Oh, boy.
Victor Bernal. Bernal? Dave, on one of the Patreon Q&As, you're going to say one of your jobs you once had that you were on the fence on, whether to share it with us.
I didn't read this.
Well, that's why I asked you. Should I answer that?
I was scrolling around. It should be bigger. We'll talk about it.
Should I save it?
You're just drunk and spilling beans right
now. Yeah, that's true. All right, I'll save it. Sorry, Victor. Save it. That's why I asked.
Well, I didn't read it. I was just like, yeah, answer some other dumb shit. Go for it, Boozy. Well, he's got a second part. You and Dave compete on Alive as a duo, which they have done. How long do you think you two will survive?
How would we do on that? I think we could do okay.
But then that's... Which one's Alive? I know Alone...
Yeah, which one is it? I thought he meant
the same one. I mean, but in true honesty, none of us have outdoor experience.
I mean, I've hunted. I could kill something.
That's two different things from having a gun to using thread from your underpants and a stick that's going to swing down like a pendulum and stab an egret through its heart.
What's an egret?
I'm pretty sure it's a bird.
Oh. I was thinking it was like a weird rodent.
They mentioned it on Ozark. Like, it's probably a bird. I'll say that. It'll make me sound smart. And then you got to back it up, make me look like a dickhead. So, I think you'd get hungry real quick.
Make you nervous?
I think you would just get fed up with the repetition of what's available to eat.
Yeah.
I think if anything, you'd be the one to just get poisoned right away because, like, I look like it would really spice things up. And then you would just put the wrong thing in a dish.
My first priority, I would be looking for a wild boar. There were boar in that area. I'd get a hold of a wild boar, got some barbecue. Of course, then I'm not going to have access to spices. What good is
that's what I'm saying. You're going to start picking leaves and berries to spice up a dish. And next thing you know, you shit your kidneys out. Mm. So, I mean, I think we can make it a week before you get bored of the food and I just perish through lack of skill.
I know we could do a week. Unlike what season was it with that one dude that was all cocky and the first night, he didn't even last one night.
That was like that. Well, that's like you could tell they picked this. Oh, this guy's real arrogant. Like,
but if you're going to be that arrogant, you've got to at least make it through the first night, dude.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what it was that made him crumble.
He just saw bear shit as soon as he got off the boat.
That's what it was. He got scared of a bear.
Yeah, they picked him strategically. They knew who he was going to be.
Trixie Emerson. That's a good name. Dave, you got any advice for someone looking to live the van life? Also, Kyle, how do you feel about someone as old as your comedy career supporting your podcast? Wait, how do you feel about
that? Somebody that's 20 years old listening to me, because my comedy career is 19 years old. Okay. I say, great, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate the young people taking an interest in what us old timers have to offer.
Advice for someone looking to live the van life, like, well, first of all, what's your intention? Why are you living in a van? You know, are you trying to pursue a comedy career and you can't afford to pay rent in Los Angeles? Or are you on the run from the law? Are you down on your luck? Well, I'll give you from my perspective. I mean, that's such a broad question. Advice for looking. All right. I'll narrow it down to this. As far as parking spots. All right. On the road, if you're traveling cross country or whatever, truck stops and Walmart. That's your go-to. Truck stops and Walmart.
Just don't run into any serial killers from last week's episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're living in a city like I was in Los Angeles, parking spots, you want to find a neighborhood, kind of a middle-of-the-road neighborhood, meaning, all right, I could park in Beverly Hills and that would be safe, right? But in Beverly Hills, I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. All these rich people are going to be like, what's that fucking weird van doing parked in front of my $5 million house? And then eventually the cops are going to get called on you. On Skid Row, I'm not going to stick out. No one's going to give a fuck about that weird van, but it's a dangerous area.
Harvest your organs.
And people are going to try to break in and steal your shit because I lived in a Econoline van that looked like a work truck and I got broken into twice. And I'm convinced that both times they were breaking in because they thought it was like a plumber's van and there were tools and shit in there that they could steal. So the trick is to find a neighborhood that is safe but not necessarily too nice. So, for example, I used to live in Los Feliz. That's a safe kind of neighborhood, but it's not like affluent to where like everybody's going to worry about what you're doing, like a bunch of nosy neighbors.
Park in an industrial area.
Yeah, and then that was my second part. You don't want to park directly in front of someone's apartment or their house. You want to find like either an industrial area or like a place. For example, you know the terrain. Hillhurst and Clayton, right there. That was my favorite street because to my left was a fire department. They didn't give a shit what I was doing.
Yeah, everybody wants to live next to a fire department.
And to my right was a vacant parking lot. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to worry about people looking out their window of their nice condos or apartments. Worried about, goddamn, that's a good one. That's a good toot. To answer your question, it's all about those parking spots. So find a neighborhood that you're not going to get robbed or broken into, but you're also not going to have the cops called on you every other day. So
yeah, you've gone into depth.
Yeah. So there.
In previous episodes,
have a good emergency shit kit available.
Shit kit's important.
Know your 24-hour toilets. So, yeah. And also, basically, the overall point is be stealthy. You don't want people to know that you're living in that van. You want a nondescript van because
Yeah, don't start a podcast where you tell everybody you live in a van. Or
like
anything.
I said, if people know you live in a van, the neighbors are going to get nervous because you're living in a van in front of their house. And homeless people and criminals are going to know that even though you're down on your luck and you're living in a van, you're still going to have all your earthly possessions in that vehicle. And you might have a laptop or something of value that they could break in and steal. So the key is to just be stealthy and make it look like an unoccupied van.
All right. Anus man. Apparently, this question has been asked before. We haven't answered it because he or she wrote, "I'm going to keep posting this until it's been answered."
Okay.
A man clones himself so perfect that even the mole on his left ass cheek is in the exact same spot. Right after cloning himself, this guy decides to jerk off his clone. Is it considered gay or masturbation?
I don't remember this question. I feel like I would remember this one.
Yeah, I don't either, but I would say trying to understand the idea that sexuality is a spectrum, it's fluid, that you can kind of be 80-20 straight gay, you know?
Nuh-uh, dude.
You know? Yeah.
No way, dude.
I'm so 100% straight.
I don't even look at my own dick when I pee.
I looped over. Full-blown gay now.
So is it gay if you jack off your clone? That's what he's saying?
My problem, since we're already dealing with a technically strange question, is now you're going to clone yourself, but how are you cloning it? Are you creating it from new? Are you creating? So now you're just going to wait for this kid that's you to grow up
to get of age.
To a legal age? So you're going to sit there 18 years just going, eventually I'm going to jerk this kid off. That's the creepier part to this for me.
Is that how that works, though? Like if you clone – I just thought if you clone yourself, you're modern-day self.
But I don't see what they have now, like where they're cloning dogs or they're clone your pet. But they harvest, they take cells from your dead pet, and then you have a puppy that grows into your old pet.
Okay, so that's how that works?
So, yeah.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I don't know if that's how it works. That's what I heard.
Huh.
I don't know how any of this shit works. You know they're cloning people. They've already cloned sheep.
Yeah.
You know they've done it with people.
So when they clone a sheep, the clone starts from birth, from an infant.
Yeah, it didn't just show up a whole sheep.
I guess so, yeah. I never thought about it that far.
It's not like they just put it in a big box. Like take a hair and they just open up the box. There's old sheep.
Well, it's kind of like that other question. Like
gestate.
If you could suck your own dick, does that mean you're gay? Because you're still sucking a dick.
No, because you jerk yourself off all the time. Then
that's true. Yeah, you're right. I touch a wiener almost every day.
But if it's cloning, if it's another thing, but it's you. But what's your urge to do? Like, is it your urge because you want to touch another dick? Because then you could just go touch dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's not masturbation. That's masturbation for the self.
Hmm.
Now, I will eliminate the idea of masturbation, but is it considered gay? I don't know about that because it's you. I think it's more vanity.
All right, then.
And why are you just jerking off your clone? Like, just go whole hog and bang up, you know? Like, you waited that long, you went through all that science just to dole out a hand job?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, that's what you're getting for the answer to that. Buddy.
Burley Gates asked, Dave, you mentioned James Gregory several times on the Boogie Monster. What are your thoughts on Jerry Clower? Funny you should ask. I recently was exploring his catalog. I grew up on Jerry Clower. Do you know who Jerry Clower is?
He's one of the only people whose names still pop up on the iTunes comedy charts.
That's true. He was a fertilizer salesman.
No.
He became a comic later in his life.
He was a shit salesman.
I think he's from Mississippi, and he was big back in the 60s and 70s. Old Southern guy, and when I was growing up, I was exposed to him, and I was like, oh, this is charming. He's an old Southern guy who's kind of a storyteller type comic. But now that I myself am a comic, I went back and really dug through his catalog, and he's a great storyteller, and he's charming, and he's, you know, he's very Southern, and he's got that Southern charm, and but from a comedian's perspective, he's doing what you shouldn't do. He's the opposite of you, Kyle. I always tell people, you're a great storyteller. And here's the problem. Like, when you start comedy, people want to tell stories, right? Like, a lot of, like, when I started, I wanted to tell all these stories and stuff. But the thing about telling a story, as you know, you tell the story, but you got to have laughs along the way. You got to have a lot of jokes and punchlines throughout the story. Well, Jerry Clower is a great storyteller, but it's one long story with one mediocre punchline at the end. If you're going to tell a 7-minute story, you got to have more than one punchline, and I feel like that's my opinion on Jerry Clower. He tells these 8-10 minute stories, and they're interesting. But the laugh, there's one laugh locked and loaded at the very end.
Still in the top 15 sales on iTunes.
Yep.
So somebody loves that slow pace.
Yeah. So
glasses comedy.
Technically, from a comedy perspective, not a huge fan. Like, I appreciate the storytelling. I appreciate the Southern charm. But he could have used some. He should have recorded some of his sets and punched them up. But, yeah, it's a long story with one half-assed punchline at the end. So that's my opinion on Jerry Clower.
Don't know it. Jerry Clower and Filipino food. I'll have to make a night of it. Alexandra Honesto asks, if you could access definitive evidence of one theory, Bigfoot, vampires, aliens on Earth, time travelers, which would you choose? Also, have you watched Black Mirror? How far would you like to see technology go in your lifetime? Interesting to think that definitive evidence. I'm still saying we have aliens from that time travelers. I would like to see that being proven, but mm-hmm. I don't. If you proved it, then it would collapse everything because I don't think we would have the morality or mental wherewithal to not fuck up the folds of time. You know, the Back to the Future shit.
Yeah.
Somebody coming back, spilling the beans, and it screws up the future, and then they are eliminated.
Yeah, we would most definitely exploit it to our advantage.
Yeah. It would be militarized. But how far would you like to see technology go in your lifetime? Well, I think all our lifetimes might be the same at this point. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in lieu of that UN climate report, it would be nice to see some, you know, obviously all these scientists are working real hard to figure out how to stop all this shit, you know, everything that's causing the demise of our planet. And on the other side, you got, it's like, every news is like, oh boy, well, the planet's dying in 2040, it's going to be critical mass and everything's going to shit. And then there's the next article is like, fuck, robots are looking real human-like. And I bet you, we're going to get a sentient fuck robot that has the answer to climate change. That's how far I'd like to see technology go. I want to see these fuck robots just get past the roles they were created for and get out there and do some good.
Hmm.
You know? Thinking about what's the morality of how you treat robots. Like, now you've created this thing that can are starting to express emotions or so. Like, oh, yeah, now there's going to be things put in place. Oh, fuck. Oh, I can't remember shit. But just morality concerning AI.
Hmm.
Like, what it's allowed to do and manipulate people, and also how, like, okay, the human in charge saying, well, yeah, this thing, just the whole argument, like, with self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's in front of a self-driving car, what life does the car prioritize?
Yeah.
Save the person in the vehicle or avoid hitting the person that's outside the vehicle?
Yeah.
So it's along that lines. I don't even know. I'm feeling pessimistic today, Alexandra.
I don't know if this falls under technology, but like,
I'd like to see these fuck robots get, you know, go back to community college, get their degree.
I'd like to see, like, medicine, you know, like, you know, let's get a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm you know, the rumor is that we've had a cure for a long time. But,
no, but somebody can make money off of it.
Exactly.
Or just the nanobots that they'll release into your body mm-hmm. that will, like, remove tumors from the inside.
Yeah.
It's just the idea of what's out there that we're not allowed to see.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's got to be so much. All right, moving on. You done with that one?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah, good question. Chad Newsom asks, what's your favorite Halloween memory and the coolest thing you got trick-or-treating? Mine was a can of Pepsi.
That's kind of great.
That is though. Good. That's
like if
solid.
If it's a cold one, you're out trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
If it's a hot day.
Fucking 12-ounce can of Pepsi, even though I'm not a Pepsi guy. I'm more of a Coke guy, but, you know, hey. Also, what's the best time to go to Hal and Ray's if you want to avoid the line? Does such a time even exist? Yes, it does. They may have extended their hours to 7. I'm not sure. Traditionally,
follow them online.
Traditionally, they close at 4. I follow them online on Twitter, and they're always giving out these updates like, hey, guys, only a 20-minute wait right now.
Yeah.
Best time, to my knowledge, go around 3 o'clock, 3, 3:30. You probably have about a 20-minute wait.
You get some free fucking Howlin' Rays for how much advertising we've done.
If you go at like 11, you're going to wait an hour and a half. What's your favorite Halloween memory, Cal?
I have so many. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed Halloween. Mm-hmm. Not favorite, but one that stands out is when we're just being into mischief in high school and my friend got accidentally kicked in the face and broke his nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never seen someone bleed like that.
Wow.
Yeah, he like tripped and fell while my friend ran past and just kicked him in the face. Not on purpose. Mm. I'm like, oh, buddy, you all right? And we kind of lifted him up and he lifted his head up and just blood just poured out of his nose. We're like, God. Damn, like I'd never seen that before. It was immediately like, you're all right, and then he just, I'm all right, like we got him back to the house and
I punched
bandaged him up.
I punched a guy, right? I broke a guy's
he
nose.
He
one
broke
time.
A guy's just nose.
Fucking bloodbath.
You punched him in the face.
Fucking shattered his nose
from work.
Yeah,
yeah. That was. I mean, it was like a fun night of like he was fine, he was all right. Mm-hmm. But then we're like, oh man, it's just
it's
like
shocking.
It's like Halloween.
It's shocking.
Yeah, like
how much
craziness
comes out.
Is out on Halloween.
Oh man,
but I just liked that mood if it was good weather and because it wouldn't be too frozen yet. Once in a while, there'd be a cold snap, and it sucked because like that's the last thing you look forward to before winter was going to be a drag is Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, nope, it's 26 degrees outside. You're like, God damn it. But if there was those times where it was just – it would get chilly at night, but in the 50s, so your costume would keep you warm,
mm-hmm.
be a little foggy, yeah. Perfect fall weather, and just – I was noticing – I was back there the other day, like street lamps when they had that orange tint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, and that kind of – I got a little bit stoned at my folks' house when I was there. It was the same sense that that movie, It Follows. Like we were talking about the other episode.
Yeah,
like,
I gotta watch that.
Again, that 80s tone to it.
Uh huh.
But like the yellow street lamp glow and the stillness of the suburbs. And just, like when you see that shot in a movie of just the kids on the sidewalk. And
yeah.
But then later at night, who's still out and who's creeping around trying to scare other little kids. I just love it.
Should I watch that on Halloween? I'm already trying to plan me and Katie's Halloween night. It Follows.
How many movies do you think you're going to get in there?
Maybe 3.
Try It Follows.
Okay.
I got to try it again. Like I said, the tone, like I found it distracting.
Okay.
But give it a shot.
Okay. Trick or Treat is a great one, by the way, if anybody's looking for Halloween movies. You ever seen Trick or Treat?
The one with Skippy from... The one with Skippy from Family Ties? Yeah, Heisman, that one out.
No, I don't know. I don't know if he's...
It's not the one where it's the kid loves... Ozzy Osbourne's in it and plays a preacher and Gene Simmons plays a demon.
No, it's definitely not that. This is like 12 years ago. Came out like 2005, maybe.
Okay.
But that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but... Yeah, he was like a metalhead. He's like, I love it. And then his favorite musician died.
Huh.
And he's like, I'll do anything. And I think like, he summoned the demon that was Gene Simmons.
Wow. No, I'm not familiar with that. No, Trick or Treat is definitely not that, but it's a great Halloween movie. I don't know I can't remember the exact plot, but I've seen it two or three times, and it was like, yes, this is very perfect for Halloween.
Sorry, I hit pause so I could go pee, and I forgot.
It's all right.
They wouldn't know if I didn't say anything.
That's true. But then the problem with pausing it is we forget where we stopped at.
But we're talking about Halloween memories.
Yeah.
And maybe Halloween movies and what's scary. Yeah, because I was talking about the streetlights.
Oh, yeah.
The gold streetlights. Just that isolated look of a suburban street where it's just so dark above and just a cone. Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't that the poster from The Omen? It was just the guy under the streetlight, like next to the staircase that the priest fell down. I think it was The Omen.
I don't know, but
Omen 3 is this real scary one.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Well, we mentioned last episode, I mentioned that I liked the original Halloween, the movie Halloween. Mm. And that's one of the reasons why, as a child, I remember liking that movie. Because there's scenes of, like, just your classic suburban Halloween night of, like, kids walking around. It's now dark, the street lamps. But then Michael Myers is also out on foot on the prowl. And I just remember that contrast of, like, wholesome American suburb Halloween. And over there in the bushes, oh, there's fucking Michael Myers.
That kind of shit.
Crashing the party.
I like how people are getting... No, that was The Exorcist.
Hmm.
They're the guys under the streetlight.
Yeah.
No, it was Exorcist 3, I think.
Hmm. I didn't even know there were three Exorcists.
Let me see if that's the one. Bronger made me watch it.
Yeah.
It was like... God damn. Yeah, it was Exorcist 3.
Huh.
That's a good, scary movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I asked you. Did I ask you on the air or off the air? I'm compiling. I'm trying to go ahead and do some recon and figure out what Katie and I's Halloween night viewing will be. I'm trying to pick out three or four movies for us to watch.
I mean, there's so many good scary movies. Obviously, like, American Werewolf in London, which is a question somebody else had asked in here that I think I would like to get to.
Like, there's great horror movies, but then there's Halloween movies. So I want, like, classic Halloween
movies. That incorporate the holiday into it?
Yeah. Mm. And I'm already thinking of my version of Trick or Treat. Off the air, we figured out that there's two movies called Trick or Treat. You were talking about the one with
three of them.
With Ozzy and Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
But the one I'm thinking of is, like, 03, 05, and it's just, I don't know how to describe it. Just, I think it might be even like vignette style, like just a couple of short stories of like just great, good Halloween scary shit.
Creepshow. I'm telling you, Creepshow.
Creepshow. Okay.
All right. Well, Halloween, making new memories every Halloween.
Yeah.
Always good times.
I'll answer my version of Chad Newsom's question. I got two specific Halloween memories that always stick out. The childlike, wholesome version is I was fortunate enough when I was a kid, from the ages of about 4 to 10, I lived in a subdivision, little neighborhood, just a bunch of houses, I had a bunch of dumb little dipshit friends. And I remember Halloween and 4th of July always stuck out as like communal events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the whole neighborhood, like block party style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The whole neighborhood came together on both those holidays. And on Halloween,
they're not family holidays, they're like community.
Yeah,
holidays.
Like the whole neighborhood got together. And on both holidays, one component that I remember that stuck out that I thought was super cool was on both holidays, it was my two excuses of each of the year to hang out after dark.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm outside after dark because that was kind of the rule, you know, when you're a kid, like, all right, you go out and play, do whatever you want, but when it comes dark, when it's nighttime, you better get your ass back inside.
Yeah, when the streetlights come on.
Yeah. But on 4th of July, we'd get to hang out after dark because of the fireworks, and on Halloween, we'd hang out after dark, obviously, because of trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a kid, We'd go out trick-or-treating, but on three or four years in a row, when I was like 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that area, I forgot which neighbor, but some...
I got it.
You guys can't hear that. Cal's ripping some good ones.
Sorry, guys.
One of our neighbors had like a long like landscaping trailer, almost like a flatbed trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd go on a hayride. So
haunted hayride.
He'd put a bunch of hay bales and straw and shit in there, and 10 or 20 little dipshit kids would pile in the back, and he would drive us around the neighborhood and make stops. So we'd go out and trick or treat, and boom, 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 we'd hit three or four houses and get back in, travel down the road, three or four more houses. I just remember riding in the back, you know, autumn, cool out at night, got our stupid costumes. I just remember how fun the hayride was. Like, oh, we're going on fucking riding the back of a trailer with a bunch of hay. Good to get
some candy. They have like ghouls and goblins coming to get you?
No, but there was a lot of activity out. You know, there were other pockets of neighbors and kids, like, you know, oh, my little clique's doing this, and then there's some other little gangs of kids doing that, and you're just out at night and seeing people, and I just remember how much fun that was. Then the other memory is when I was like 15, 16. I wasn't quite – I was 15 because I remember – my other buddy, I'll go ahead and say names. If anybody in Canton, Georgia.
I'll go ahead and name names.
Me and Brian Roach, my good high school buddy, Brian Roach, and I think our other buddy, Jeffrey Adams, Brian was the first one to turn 16. So Brian was like he got his license first. You remember how magical that was when you're 15, 16, like, oh, shit, now we get to go out with our buddies instead of our parents.
We're getting out in the world now.
So when I was 15, we all piled into Brian Roach's Jeep Cherokee, and we rode around. We weren't trick-or-treating. We weren't even in costume. We were just out and about. We're just going to go out and get into some shit.
Kids out without costumes, nothing good's coming out of
them. We were some little fuckers, man.
Yeah, I knew. I was part of those groups, but also remember the other version of those.
And I remember specifically when I was 15, so this would have been like Halloween 1992. We're out and about, three or four of us, in Brian Roach's Jeep Cherokee. And for some reason, we had these toy machine guns. Yeah. Like these, like Tech Nines, these little miniature machine guns. And we're driving through a neighborhood, and people are out trick-or-treating. And we're not in costume. We're just out being little fuckers.
Yeah.
And we drove by Craig Vickers' house. We're sophomores. Craig Vickers is a senior. And we knew Craig, and we liked Craig. We had no beef with Craig. We weren't super tight, but we remember Craig. And we drove by Craig Vickers' house, and Craig is out in his driveway doing something. And I said we weren't in costume, but we did have on masks for some reason.
Bank robbery style.
Bank robbery style. Just set it off style. Maybe Jason mask or something. And two or three of us, when we drove by Craig Vickers' house, we lean our bodies out the window with our mask and with our fake Tech Nines, and we pointed them at Craig. And then Craig goes, fuck that shit. And Craig hops in his Jeep Cherokee, and he chases us.
Oh, yeah. Car chases.
And he chased us all over Canton, Georgia. Halloween of 92. And now we're like, oh, shit. Because if Craig catches us, he's going to kick our ass. Because he's 2 years older. He's a big dude.
You think he just knew who you guys were?
I don't think I don't know.
You know what cars your friends have.
Yeah, but we weren't super tight. I feel like it was right on that line of like where he knew who we were, but he probably didn't know what kind of car Brian drove. All he knew is some little dipshits pointed a fucking gun at him. And I don't know if he knew these were real guns or fake guns.
The guys with the guns.
So he chased us all over town for like 15, 20 minutes. And now we're like, oh, fuck, man. Now we're scared. Because if he catches us, he's going to beat the shit out of us.
We used to get into car chases.
And I just remember having a car chase all through. And I don't remember how it ended. But somehow we got out of there unscathed. So those are my two Halloween memories.
Man, I'm trying to think. I remember I tried to lie about making out with a girl, but I was dressed like Ace Frehley. Just the makeup was all over both of us. Like, what were you guys doing in the bathroom? Nothing.
Oh, you lied about you. The lie was I didn't make out with her.
Yeah, friends were like, what were you guys? Not like, what were you guys getting up to?
Nothing. What do you mean? No way.
Why would you hide that? You'd be like, I made out with that girl.
Just trying to be modest.
Yeah.
Trying to be modest when you're drunk as shit, dressed like Ace Frehley. Probably not a great combo.
Oh, man.
Chris Wicken, is it wrong to discriminate against comedians who have 90s-esque headshots for their listings on Comedy Club websites? No, the comedy club should ask for a new headshot and try to update things if they want people to treat them like a business in the 21st century. That's well within the club's capability or the comedian to monitor what headshot goes out for press and make it one that looks up to date. Three likes from Sam Thomason for this question. You ready for it?
Uh-huh.
What kind of werewolf model do you subscribe to? The American Werewolf in London big old fucking wolf type or the more humanoid teen wolf style? I'm just wondering how the human type would mark its territory. I like the idea of a big-ass man wolf holding his wolf dick and peeing on a tree like a drunk guy at an NFL game. There's another. I'm going to just go ahead and combo this with another question about from Jameson Zook. Do werewolves have man wieners or red rockets?
what a great question.
Well, because then you got to make a difference between what kind of werewolf. I think they turned into a much bigger creature. Teen Wolf was a comedy, and they couldn't have a big, scary, on all fours wolf.
Well, what's this, the werewolf? The werewolf starts off. It's a human transforming
it's a man
into a wolf.
At a full moon, it becomes a wolf.
Not a wolf transforming into a man, correct?
No, Jesus Christ, dude.
No, I'm just breaking it down.
This is what the whole podcast is
about. I'm just breaking it down.
At least base knowledge of this shit. And you don't know which way. Oh, just a wolf once a month just turns into a guy?
A wolf just turns into a guy named Paul.
He's a wereman. He's got a stash clothes.
Oh, my God.
On that note, watch What We Do in Shadows. Have you seen that?
No. I know what you're talking about.
It's real funny.
Is it good?
Yeah,
I like that guy.
It's just real dumb, funny stuff. But then
Flight of the Conchords, dude.
Yeah, but then there's a pack of werewolves in there, and they all know, so like they're all chaining themselves to trees. And he's like, why are you wearing jeans? You know that shit's just going to... Track pants, guys. Come on.
Track pants.
Something you can get off easy.
Rip them off.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What kind of dick would a werewolf have? What do you think?
I think it changes with the creature. What's so unbelievable about its dick to be different if it's already... If it was a man and now it's a wolf. So okay. Therefore, it has a wolf dick.
It'd have a wolf dick, yeah. You okay?
No, I got farts.
What happened?
I ate Indian food.
Oh, the Indian food.
Yeah. What one part of the wolf is just going to not... No, it's got a wolf dick.
Got a wolf dick. Okay.
Yeah, if you're going to believe in a werewolf, then it's full wolf. It'd be weird if just that part changed first.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I say. I think it's American Werewolf in London style. I think they're scary, creepy creatures, and their genitals would reflect the current state of their bodies.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying to you, Sam and Jameson.
I like it. Ben Stikeleather, is that your real name?
Yeah.
Ben Stikeleather.
That's Stike. He's Roey Co. Customs. He does the cool guitars out of
Rockford. Oh, is that him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know him. I didn't know that was Ben Stikeleather.
Yeah.
He gave me a Backsliders t-shirt. Backsliders, great alt-country band for the 90s.
He's always bringing me little New York seltzer bottles full of some beverage concoction he comes up with.
How much better is Hal and Ray's over Gus's? This is a question that's been asked several times, not to be like passive-aggressive about it. It's two different animals, Ben. Two different animals. Gus's classic fried chicken. Hal and Ray's is Nashville hot chicken. Yes, they are both fried chicken. But they're two different animals, and they're both amazing. So if you had to pick one, I mean, Hal and Ray's. But Hal and Ray's is Nashville hot, spicy-ass shit. Gus's, classic fried chicken. They both fucking rule. Eat them both.
Gus's isn't hot chicken?
No. It's now...
I'm drinking out of a Gus's cup right now.
Now, yes.
Accessibility makes me enjoy
Gus's is... somewhat spicy for fried chicken. It is a spicy fried chicken, but Gus's is not Nashville hot chicken. They're both fried, but Nashville hot has this coating, this spicy coating. So, yeah. I know that sounds, but trust me, they're different.
That's why you answer this stuff.
They're both great. They're both great. If you had to pick one, if you're in town for one day and you had to pick one, I would say Hal and Ray's, but don't even get the fried chicken. Get the sandwich. I've talked about that many times. The best sandwich, not chicken sandwich, the best sandwich of any type that I have ever had.
I agree with this.
I've ever had. By the way, can we talk about this real quick? I know I'm veering off. We haven't addressed this.
Violently, I guess we're
we have not addressed this.
I guess we're going to talk about it.
We haven't addressed this on the podcast, Kyle.
What?
After our Columbia show.
Yeah.
We went to Waffle House.
We
and
did.
For many times, for many, many episodes, many examples on this show, you have thumbed your nose at Waffle House. I feel like I converted you.
I had a good for being drunk in the middle of the night. I had a good Waffle House meal. The eggs were great. I like how the way they get the cheese in there.
Yes, best scrambled eggs.
It was good
on the market.
It was good.
Good or but great?
Good. It's not great. Waffle House doesn't get to be great.
Watch your fucking mouth. We had talked about that. I feel like I converted
Boogie
you.
Monsters no longer, guys. I fought each other over a ranking of Waffle House.
Anyway, some creative differences.
No, it was a very good late night meal at Waffle House.
You had the eggs. What else did you have that night? Did you have the hash browns?
Yeah, I got them.
What kind of meat did you have?
Flipped and licked
or
whatever.
Oh, you didn't have a meat.
whatever they're doing to them there.
Oh.
I got him sexy side up.
Flipped and licked.
Give him flipped and licked, sexy side up.
You talked a lot of shit about Waffle House on this podcast.
I talked a lot of shit about the one time I went to Waffle House. The guy rang out a dish towel on my fucking breakfast and didn't blink an eye. I think I'm well within my right to talk shit about Waffle House if that's the standard that they're working at. That's daytime. That's in the day. That's in the day with other customers.
Oh, God.
I think I'm well within my right to have a gripe with them.
Oh, God. Where are we at?
Mm-hmm.
We done?
Yeah, we can get.
Paranoid Magazine. Shout out to those guys. It's Bigfoot a pothead. Of course. Of course he is.
Yeah, he's figured it out. If you just eat pot, does it get you high? Like, will animals get high if they just eat pot?
If you eat a pot plant?
It's got to be dried, right? Like a chemical reaction has to.
Oh, I don't know. No
activate
idea.
It.
No idea.
Because if that's the case, then animals would be stoned. Like how animals will get drunk if they eat rotten fruit because it's fermented.
How do we know that they're not out there just high as shit, tripping balls?
That's what keeps them hidden. They're paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
They're already paranoid of people. Fuck, do you hear something?
There
might be a guy. Hunter Scott, I know I'm a little bit late, but I had a chicken and the egg question. Got to see Kyle in Richmond and heard some bits that came from Boogie Monster. I was curious to see if you get more ideas about bits from the podcast and angles to run them, or if you have bits in mind and you can work them out on there before taking them to the stage. Thanks, and I hope this isn't diving too deep into your minds. Not possible, Hunter. We got two shallow ends of the pool here. I don't want to mess any future shows for you guys. No, there's been some stuff where it's like I've talked about it because, you know, we're trying to just be free-flowing and fun. But if it's an exceptionally funny thing, I'm like, yeah, I might be able to turn that into a story.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's not a bummer when people hear it because they heard it on the podcast and then you hear it on the stage. Like,
I don't find anything wrong with that. I don't think
– I don't
either, want to speak for you, but I don't think either one of us try out bits, quote-unquote, on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think we go on our rants – in mid-rant, like any comic, when you're mid-rant with your buddies or whatever, then that light bulb goes off and you go, oh, I should write that down.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think we have shit in our notebook and then bring it to the podcast and try it out on each other. I don't know. I doubt
yeah.
you do that. I don't
know. No. It's just that this is topics that we're interested
yeah.
in, and then, oh, we're making a joke about it. Oh, you know what? That goes well with a bit I'm already doing yeah. in this set.
And I know I've told you on the podcast, like, oh, you should write that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just sitting there with your own idea without
yeah.
talking it out, and
yeah.
you got to go to an open mic. We're basically just doing an open mic at each other.
Yeah. But no, I don't think we intentionally, like, run bits on the podcast, but definitely during a rant, I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to write that down and might be able to use that.
Jonas Lydon, have you guys ever heard of the Montana Vortex? Have we? Have you talked about that? Maybe we should look into it. Thank you. You guys heard of any alien abduction stories outside of the USA or in Area 51 of Europe type area? I assume Russia's got some secret shit going on, which they just enforce by murdering anybody that comes near it.
Yeah.
At least for a while in America, they tried to just make it like, nah, don't come down here and don't mess up our stuff. But Russia, they just take you out.
Spencer Williams says, hey, guys.
Oh, yeah. I realized he was trying to continue on.
Oh, I just thought, that's funny if he just wanted to say
that's
hello.
That's what I thought, too.
What's your go-to burrito place? Chipotle, Moe's, Qdoba, or some mom-and-pop shop? Ask Marcos. Come down to Miami sometime, even though the city sucks. Burrito chains. Well, that's the thing. We live in L.A., and we have access to all kind of great food trucks and burrito trucks and stuff.
Yeah, you know. Vegetarian? No, I'll go to Chipotle.
Yeah, when I'm on the road.
Sofritas, whatever that weird.
I got no problem.
Spicy pillow stuffing.
I got no problem with Chipotle. I know people shit on it, but man, it's pretty solid. I get the burrito bowl. And yes, I know guac is extra. What else we got?
I don't know, man. We got a fat episode.
Yeah.
I feel bad we're not getting all these questions. Some of them we've kind of answered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a lot of, you know, what conspiracy theory would you like to be true? We've done that kind of stuff, guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we got, you know, which cryptid would you eat? We already went over that stuff. Alvin Fox says, a long time ago, I used to hear a theory about alien abductions. Aliens would abduct people who would be terrified. Aliens decided to try to calm people down during the abduction process, make them feel like they were going somewhere friendly and fun. So they would disguise themselves as clowns. Afterwards, abductees would develop an intense fear of clowns. Which reminds me, whatever happened with all those clown sightings and attacks a few years ago?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't make sense at all. At no point were people like, oh yeah, the clowns took me to a spaceship and stuck things in my butt.
Although there is that movie, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
That's, yeah.
It's a decent
Did they
B-movie.
Abduct people?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm not going with that. The clown thing, it's, again, now that you can go viral with something. Mm-hmm. Like, remember when stuff was just a weird urban legend?
Mm-hmm.
Again, did the internet kind of ruin it? Thing? Like, oh, somebody did it here. We're and then just copycat bullshit everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That one's not holding water for me. Sorry, Alvin. I don't think the aliens are dressing up. If they're that smart to analyze what would calm people,
mm-hmm.
like you made a spaceship to travel from another planet, but you're going to the fucking Halloween superstore for some masks, I think you're doing better.
Well, I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Let's answer quick ones. Is a taco a hot dog? No,
it's a taco.
Taco is about the casing. Hot dog is about the meat inside of the bun. Tyler, would you rather be able to fly but only straight up and down, or be able to fly but only 6 feet off the ground? That's a good one. Up and down. So you can go straight up, see all your surroundings. It's good for observation. That's about it. Or dodging things. Only 6 feet off the ground. How fast can you fly? Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about speed. Otherwise, if you're just going as fast as you're walking, what's the point?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, we need those variables.
Boom. Tyler, be more comprehensive with your question next time.
You fucking dick. Suck my dick, Tyler.
Daniel Imbach, I think I found a DUMB entrance. What should I do? Get in there, buddy. Report back. Leave some GoPro footage behind when they assassinate you.
Nick Bombowski, that cannot be your real name.
Oh, Nicky Bum Bum.
That's a great name if that's your real name. What are each of your dumb party tricks? What's your party trick?
Fuck, I could tie a cherry stem in a knot with my dick.
I do. I can.
Just thought it was going to be funny to change it.
I can pop my nose. Have I showed you that one? You can really, really, you got to sell it.
Is that, with the,
I tell people I can pop my nose. Yeah, what you do?
The knuckle crack, yeah.
Well, no, the fingernail under the tooth.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh. But the key is you got to try it and fail a couple times. I go, I'll do it for you. I'll be like,
I'm watching.
I can pop my nose. You ever pop your nose?
Let's see it.
I can pop my nose. Hold on. And then what I'm doing is I'm kind of cusping my hands over my nose.
Where you're covering a sneeze.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're covering a sneeze. And then you twist your nose a couple times. Yeah. And then, you know, you fail. You got to try and fail a couple times.
All right.
And then you stop working. And then you subtly. Take that. You slide that thumb under your tooth.
Yeah, all right.
And then, you got to play it off. Yeah. Oh. But that right there sounds
like the knuckle crack.
Yeah. That might work too. Yeah. Oh. But the key is to try it a couple times and fail, and then sell it after. Just. Oh shit! And then I've done that so many times where like people are like, "What the fuck?"
But little kids get. Grossed out, but yeah. It's like a fun little kid one.
Yeah, and my nephew, I always get him with the thumb trick.
Really, he's still falling for that.
Yeah,
one?
He's dumb. He's a kid. He just you know, he falls for that. Like he gets scared. And I tell you this, my brother didn't subscribe to the to the bonus episodes. Oh, I love my nephew, but he's a bit of a puss. 7-year-old nephew is a bit of a puss. I love him. He's cute. He's great. By the way, I didn't tell you the story. I'll tell you this real quick. I posted on Instagram. My nephew, last week, he gets on to Amazon.com.
Oh, I saw the picture of that.
He got onto his parents' website, his parents' Amazon account. Mm-hmm. He ordered 10 toy dinosaurs, and then they just came. And they were like, what the fuck is this? He's like, I ordered a bunch of dinosaurs. But I just thought that was hilarious.
I think that's awesome. He wasn't even malicious or anything. I just want these dinosaurs.
And 10 of them. He ordered 10 of them. But anyway, my brother doesn't listen to the bonus episodes. He's not a patron.
Wow.
I love my nephew. He's great. But he's everything in his field of vision is ew. Ooh, this.
Yeah, but little kids, they get a reaction for doing one thing, and they just keep doing it.
I guess. But, like, when I was 7, everything was fucking rad and gnarly, and I was the one causing other people to say ooh. But, like, we were moving the other day, and I spit out, like, in the yard. Like, not on something. It didn't spit on him. Ew. Uncle Dave spit. Ooh. Everything is ew.
Because he did that once and somebody agreed with him.
But it's just,
and that's his behavior. That's like if somebody, like when a little kid does something and somebody laughs at it, they just keep doing that because they don't understand.
I sincerely don't think that's it. I don't think he's trying to get a reaction. I think it's sincere. I think he's like grossed out by everything. And I'm like, you're a 7-year-old boy. You shouldn't be grossed out by anything.
He'll get there.
I don't know. Maybe I don't understand kids. But I was just really shocked by how much stuff grosses him out or creeps him out.
Gotta go get him dirty.
He must have said ooh 1,000 times.
Push him in the dirt a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. We've
I think that's it. Sorry for almost answering that one question.
There's good questions in here, and we didn't get to them, and I'm bummed. But
well, pick one more.
Jim Thompson says, this is not a gotcha question, but I've been thinking about it. How should we treat the concept of any bar and wherever USA is showing Blazing Saddles on the screen with closed captioning turned on? Maybe to a crowd unfamiliar with the genre. Is there a line to be focused on as to how we champion or reevaluate 80s nostalgia? It's one of my favorite line-based comedies among so many more that brings a smile to my face, but are offensive, racist, misogynist.
It's a good question.
I think, yeah, it's, you know, everybody gets in trouble. Like, well, it was a different time. It was physically, you know, in the concept of time. It was in that time, circumstances were different for that kind of thing. You got to think that, like, Richard Pryor co-wrote that movie mm-hmm. with Mel Brooks.
Mm-hmm, Mel Brooks.
Like, that's who was saying these jokes are funny.
Well, it was a satire of spoofing Westerns.
Yeah, and
it's not like it was a normal movie and they said all those things. And like, what? That's how it was in the 80s.
No, it was.
They're like, this is how it was in the Western
times. And they're making fun of racism.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see how that's upsetting for me as a white guy watching it. I'm like, well, I also think it's a hilarious movie in how they are laughing at ideas of racism.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it I still think, and you're talking like playing at any bar, like what are people laughing at it? Are you giving people something to laugh at where they can misconstrue it? Like, well, why do they get to say the, that's that fucking argument. Like, why do they get to say the N-word in there? That's, and it's funny.
Such a lame
but
argument.
But then somebody else is a comedian. Like, well, I should be able to say it too. You can. And if it's funny, it's Blazing Saddles. Mm-hmm. And if it's not funny, it's Owen Benjamin.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You can do it. You can say it. But is why and how you're saying it and the quality of humor you're presenting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to deal with the repercussions. And that's a hilarious, but that's, you know, the blessing from Richard Pryor who helped make that movie.
Yeah.
And that, so if you're thinking it's racist, then that, as far as misogyny, yeah, that stuff was pretty rampant. All, making fun of it in that movie, but even those things were like, man, and then her tits will come out because that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, just nude boobs were funny.
Yeah.
That was comedy. We're talking about, like, stuff that's pretty horrific. Yeah, we're talking about Revenge of the Nerds. Oh, yeah, we just set up cameras and spied them in the shower. And then I wore a mask that her boyfriend wears on Halloween, and I had sex with his girlfriend. Like,
I raped
a
lady.
Oh, yeah, that's would be problematic and terrible to look back at. Yeah, that wouldn't fly now.
Yeah.
How should we treat it? Fucking man. That's that whole comedy subjective thing. And everybody likes to have an idea of the rules or act like there are rules. There's not. I don't know. I enjoy what I enjoy. And I try to keep my mouth shut about it. So I'm like, whoop, this one. Then we're going to laugh at this. But it's still great. Anyway, thanks, Jim. It was a good question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say, Dave?
Let's land this plane. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all the patrons. Thanks for the questions. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your $4 a month. And thanks for being you.
Oh, that was a nice, sweet ending.
I don't know what that means.
No, it was good. It was a good one.
But yeah, every month we do this. Tell a friend. Got a new Dave's Kitchen coming out soon. So, again, sincerely, thanks for all your support. And we'll catch you next time.
Happy Halloween.
The Boogie Monster.